Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 20 of the Astro Podcast. A milestone episode for us here. So excited to bring you guys this episode. Todd here with Peter today. And we have another jam-packed episode, exciting one for you guys here today. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Doing well. Typical, the same old thing. I like to see the same thing all the time. It's good. Nice to kind of get back into this. Again, I know we've been kind of up and down sometimes, but like, life's just been busy. But we still am happy that we're getting back to it. And obviously, the NFL season's had a lot of action in between, and a lot of good things and a lot of bad things in between. So, yeah, it's been another great year so far, and really happy about it so far.
Yeah, the NFL season is actually almost over. The regular season is almost coming to an end already in week 14 of the season. And you know, the playoff picture is starting to take shape in the AFC and in the NFC as well. We have a lot of key games to look forward to this week that we're going to get to in just a little bit later in the episode. But to start off, we want to talk about a team that coming to the season, I know me and you were looking at as, hey, this could be a potential playoff team, even though they play in a very tough division. That team is the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, and they definitely made a lot of changes in the offseason. You know, brought in Pete Carroll to be the new head coach, got a new general manager in there, Geno Smith, a new quarterback, Ashton Jeanty, they drafted him with the sixth overall pick in the draft. Obviously, Tom Brady's the minority owner of the team as well. So it kind of looked like the Raiders were, you know, kind of on the upswing coming into the season. However, the Raiders have not met expectations this year, as they have a 2-11 record so far this year. Another tough season for the Raiders fans, unfortunately. And it's a 2-10 record. But either way, it's not looking good, and they're going to miss the playoffs once again. I think last time they made the playoffs was like 2021.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I think 2021 and 2016 are the two most recent playoff appearances since 2002. So not great. But Peter, what's your take on this Raiders team in 2025?
It's a mess, man. It's a mess. I think the biggest thing is obviously, you can point out to the Chip Kelly stuff. I think that's the main concern with the team right now. Obviously, you can point out a lot of flaws in how they're kind of building a team. You can point out to a lot of different rebuilding teams. But this Chip Kelly stuff is insane, right? Like, you go back into it and see how crazy it was. So this guy, they hire him for a ton of money. Tom Brady endorses this guy. They bring him in. They say, okay, we want this guy to be basically our new dude. Like, we want him to run the ship and kind of get things going. And unfortunately, from the jump, it kind of looked like it was going to be ugly. Remember with the Ashton Jeanty stuff? He comes into the fold, they draft him, and he wants Ashton Jeeney to change his stance. Everyone goes, why would you do that? And he's like, oh, well, it's kind of a weird thing, like you standing up like that. It's something about, like, I think he was saying it's a tell or something like that if you're doing that, or something weird like that. Basically, apparently that, like, it just wasn't fitting his style. And it's like, dude, like, why change something? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why change something that's working for Ashton his entire career? And what made him so special. And he goes out of the way to change that. And we're like, okay, here we go. These are the typical Chip Kelly antics again. And just when you think it can't get any worse, this guy gets fired. And it comes out that he might have been was reportedly botching playing calls. So apparently, Tom Pelissero reported that apparently during games, he would either have something that was incorrect in the play call while he was telling Geno, or it was something that wasn't in the playbook at all. That's ridiculous. That's like, I've never heard of that in my life before. And it's two things, in my opinion. It's either A, he wanted to get fired and he thought this is the best way for me to do it and just get a buyout, or B, he just really lost the plot. Like, I don't know what else. There's no other reason. But either way, he should never, in my opinion, get a job again. I think to botch plays and not to have consistent play, or to consistently not know the plays in the playbook, or even if you're doing it on purpose or whatever, to sabotage your team, essentially, that's what it is. It's I don't know what the word is at this point. It's like, it's irresponsible, it's ridiculous, it's bad, and it's unforgivable, I would say, in terms of the professional level, right? And I can't believe it. A coach not remembering the play. That's sad, man. And as much as I don't think Geno's the best quarterback, I think Geno Smith, again, like, for him to go from last year to where he was this year now, it's bad, man. It's bad. You can speak on that more. You can speak on that a little bit more than I can, because I remember you're a lot more of a Geno Smith guy than I am. I know that for sure. But it's just bad, man. It really is.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, you know, Geno Smith, like, these last couple of years, he, like, when he was in Seattle, he was pretty decent. I mean, actually, in 2022, his first year there when he was starting, like, he was putting up Pro Bowl numbers. I think he actually made it to the Pro Bowl and helped him make the playoffs that year. And the two seasons after that, in 23 and 2024, he wasn't as good, but he was still playing at a near Pro Bowl level. And then this year he goes to Las Vegas and he looks like he's one of the bottom two or bottom three quarterbacks in the league. So it's just like such a drastic change. And like he's won 14 interceptions this year, tied for the most in the NFL. The running game, we mentioned Genty, such a talented running back. He's averaging 3.5 yards per carry this year. So he hasn't even been running the ball efficiently. And I don't think it's really much of his fault either. I mean, the offensive line, they haven't really done a great job, in my opinion, of really building that out either. So it's like, it's just the division wasn't, how do I put this? It wasn't really a clear vision from top down, I would say. And you're kind of seeing the effects of that. I mean, they're the second worst team in the AFC. If it wasn't for the Tennessee Titans, they would literally be the worst team in the AFC right now. So it's just a lot has gone wrong with the Raiders. And it's really tough because you're looking at the division and the Broncos are obviously doing amazing. The Chargers are good. And the Chiefs, even in a down season, are 6-6 and still have a chance to make the playoffs. And then you have the Raiders kind of just in last place. It's just, it's really tough, you know. At least like two decades we've gone by now, and the Raiders are just stuck in the same place they've been, which is last place in the division.
This is the second straight year they fired an offensive coordinator mid-year. Last year was Luke Getsy. And then, what, they had Scott Turner taking over that role last year, and that didn't work out, obviously, so they move on, and Pete Carroll comes in the fold, and Pete was just saying a couple weeks ago, me and Chip are growing, or Chip and I are growing together, and we're kind of like just trying to work things out, and it's like, dude, like, it's not good, man. It's not good at all, and it's just a shame, man. Tom Brady put basically his managerial career, or I guess early stint of it, on the line for you, and this is what you do to repay him. Again, whether he sabotaged them on purpose or not, it's still sabotage, and it's just, it's bad, man.
One last thing I want to say actually about the Raiders as well. Antonio Pierce, I'm not sure if you saw this recently. You know, he was a coach of the Raiders in 2023 and 2024. He was on the show on CBS like last week, and he was talking about the Raiders. And I mean, he literally said himself, he said, this team is going to need decades to be fixed. And like, I mean, it's interesting coming from him, in my opinion, because like he was honestly part of the problem with the Raiders the last couple of years. But I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like a wrong messenger, right message kind of thing at this point, because you're looking at this team, it's just, there's a lot to fix over there in Las Vegas. So, and in my opinion, it sucks, but I think it's going to have to start with trading Max Crosby and getting some draft picks, because he's really the only player that I feel like would really bring in a big return that they can use to rebuild the team at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
So now we're going to get into both of us, our top two games to watch out for this week. And the slate honestly filled with a lot of interesting games. A lot of big-time games are going to have playoff implications in both the AFC and the NFC. So me, I was going to go first here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, this is my first game I want to watch here. Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, traveling to Baltimore to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams are 6-6 on the season, tied for first in the really mid-AFC North division, which is weird saying, because the AFC North has been known as one of the best divisions in the league over the last two decades. But both of these teams have their issues. Both of them on offense, you look at the Ravens, Lamar Jackson has been banged up, and he hasn't really looked like his MVP self since he came back from his hamstring injury earlier in the season. And then you look at the Steelers offense, you know, early on it was looking good with Aaron Rodgers and whatnot, and, you know, kind of similar thing there where, you know, Rodgers has gotten injured and he hasn't looked the same. And both of these teams, they're kind of at a crossroads right now where it's like, okay, like, what are we going to do? We're sitting at 500. There's 5 weeks left in the regular season. It's kind of put up a shut-up time for both of these teams. And obviously the two division rivals that have, you know, disliked each other for a long time. And Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, a lot of people have been calling for their jobs for them to get fired. But this is looking like it's going to be potentially the biggest matchup between these two coaches. Maybe since the 2014 season when they met in the playoffs. I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting game. And the winner will take first place in the division. Heading into week 15.
I like it, man. Honestly, I really do. And that game, again, there's so many, in my opinion, and it's going to sound a little wrong, but today I had a little debate while I was at work about the Steelers and Ravens and what they should do with their coaches. And I'm with the full belief that both of them are, I think the time is up for them. I don't know, man. You could take it a certain way. I know it's really nothing to do with your game exactly, but what I'll say is I think both coaches, it's not even about put up or shut up time. It's just enough is enough for me. I think if you're a fan of either of these teams, especially the Steelers, I think you got to be – how much longer can you be complacent for? Like, when do you start looking at things and go, okay, I'm tired of just making the playoffs to lose. I'm tired of just making the playoffs to eventually run into a team that I can't beat. And I know people are going to point it and say, oh, it's the players, and eventually you got to just stick with it, and eventually it'll happen. How many times have we said this about different teams in the past, and it just doesn't happen? I think you have to capitalize on situations, and if you don't, you know, it's tough. It's tough cookies almost, but you kind of just have to push through and make adjustments. And these teams don't really make adjustments. And by those type of adjustments, I mean, maybe it's the coach. The Steelers on one hand, my big thing with Mike Tomlin is I just think they've gotten complacent. It's the same thing over and over again. All I hear is, well, Mike Tomlin, it's not his fault. He doesn't get the quarterback. It's not his fault the quarterback hasn't been good. It's not his fault they got Mason Rudolph. It's not his fault. Whose fault is it then? It's always management's fault. Like, when you start looking at the head coach and saying, you pick these guys, you have just as much, like, part in getting these guys. Because all I'm hearing all the time is that he has nothing to do with the quarterbacks coming in. I find that ridiculous. You're telling me he had zero input into who they're bringing in? And everyone's like, well, he just makes it work. Enough's enough, man. And then speaking of John Harbaugh, again, you know how I feel about that guy, but it's the same kind of thing. Eventually, again, you can blame Lamar. And we can blame, oh, they choke every year. And there's this and that, and which is true. All those things could be true. But eventually you got to go, okay, we can't win these big games. We keep falling into holes. And there's obviously multiple common denominators. But who's it going to be? Is it going to be Lamar or is it him? Who are we getting rid of? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Eventually, you got to do something. You can't just keep running it back over and over and over and over again and expect it to work. A lot of the times, I would say 90% of the times, that's not the case. Some teams make it happen. John Elway eventually made it happen. You know how it happened for John Elway? Management got flipped over. Coaches got fired. And eventually, they got the players in pieces. But John Elway is a rare case. He's a one percenter. And sorry, I just had to add his point, but it's just ridiculous that like these two teams are on the same kind of trajectory where everyone's just saying, well, it's not really this guy's fault. It's not that guy's fault. Whose fault is it then? And all my point is that eventually you have to make a decision. Is this the right move for me, or am I going to keep being complacent? And right now, both the teams are exactly that, complacent.
I think you nailed it, honestly, with that. And like the fact that both these teams are where they're at right now is kind of crazy. Like, especially the Ravens coming to this year. Like, I think both of us thought they would be a prime Super Bowl contender, and they're sitting here at 6-6. Which is just wild to think about. But even crazier than that is the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 4-8, are not even out of the division race. They have 8 losses with 5 weeks left in the season, and they're not out of the playoff race yet because both of these teams are honestly the definition of mid at this point at 6-6. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about as well with that. But one last thing I want to add here in terms of just how big this game is. If the Steelers win this game, they have a 64% chance of making the playoffs as well as winning the AFC North. If they lose, they have just an 18% chance of making the playoffs. As for the Ravens, they have a 76% chance of making the playoffs if they win and a 30% chance of making the playoffs if they lose. So big game for both these teams here.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this week has a lot of really good games. I think, again, like we can point to a lot of different big kind of playoff-ish implications if we're going to get into that, but I guess I'll get into mine, and one of the most obvious ones this week is the Bears and the Packers game. Like, I have to mention it, man. Like, the Packers, again, this season that they've had, it's been kind of a roller coaster. Even with an 8-3-1 record, at times it's felt like we've either been looked like one of the best teams in the league, if not the best, and then at times it looks like they've been one of the worst. Like, it just it's kind of it's been a roller coaster, right? And this is such a massive game now. All of a sudden they won 2 in a row. Yes, they've beaten 2 opponents that I think are kind of slumping-ish or teams that are kind of in trouble. But they got the job done. They won 2 pivotal games, right? You sweep the Lions last week in that Thanksgiving game. You take advantage of that situation. And now you have a chance to take over the division and take a lead over the Chicago Bears, who are, again, they're not dominant. I know they're 9-3. They're not super fantastic. But what they do well, they do the little things very well. They don't really create too many crazy turnovers. Turnovers on themselves. They force a lot of turnovers on other teams, and what they do best is they get dirty in the trenches, and that's a key thing for them, especially on the offensive end. I'll say that instead of the defense. But the offense does a really good job of mucking it up and running the ball, and that's what they did last week. I have never seen in my, I guess, life, I can say so far, over the last 2 or 3 years, the Philadelphia Eagles get absolutely mauled the way they did last week.
Yeah.
They got ran up and down the field. They were doing whatever they wanted, those wham blocks, whatever you want to call them, everything. it was nasty what they were doing to Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and crew. Like, it was impressive to see those two guys. I don't think they've ever gotten moved like that in their life. Those two guys, they've been in Georgia, high school, talking about number one prospects, top tier defensive tackles, and they got thrown out of the club in that game. So, I mean, it's a problem. They have probably the best interior offensive line right now in the NFL. They're running the ball at an extremely high level. Ben Johnson is doing it at more of a gritty pace, more than that flashy stuff he's doing in Detroit, because to be honest with you, they don't really have the execution-wise to be that flashy. But they do the ground and pound really well, and Packers got to be careful for that. So I think this is a huge game. It's a huge setup. We're going to see what happens between these two teams. Jordan Love has been up pretty good so far. Caleb Williams has been better as a game manager more, I'll say that. But it's going to be a big test for certain guys. A lot of questions are going to be answered in this game, so I'm really looking forward to see that Sunday game. Or, sorry, Sunday afternoon game. Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt on the call, so it should be pretty good.
Yeah, it should be a great game. I definitely agree with that. And even they mentioned the Bears, they don't beat themselves, right? They have only committed 9 turnovers this year, and they lead the league in 26 takeaways. So they take the ball away, and they don't make mistakes themselves. So it's hard to beat a team like that. But it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, Green Bay actually has the fewest giveaways this year, only 7 giveaways for the Packers, and the Bears lead the league in takeaways. So something's going to have to give. Either the Bears are going to continue to, you know, get turnovers and, you know, do a good job of doing that and probably come out of Lambeau Field with a win, or the Packers are going to be able to continue to dominate the Bears, I guess you can say, in this rivalry series. They've won 11 in the last 12 meetings against Chicago. So that should be an interesting game there for sure. My second game that I'm really curious to watch this week has to will take place actually in L.A. Big game here between the 8-4 Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, and the 8-4 LA Chargers, Monday Night Football. This game, I feel it can go either way. I put this game on my list because I actually don't know generally who's going to win this game. And both of these teams they're not doing too great right now. They do have winning records, and both of them, I do think, especially the Eagles, have a great chance of making the playoffs. But both of these teams are just not playing at their highest level right now. I look at Philadelphia, they lost 2 in a row. I remember that time in late October where their offense was starting to finally click against like the Giants and the Vikings. And then they came out of their bye week in these last 4 games against the Packers, Lions, Cowboys, and the Bears last Friday. They've really, really struggled. They haven't scored more than 21 points a game. They've been turning the ball over more. It's just been really hard to see. And, you know, just a lot of blame going around too between, you know, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, who unfortunately got his house egged by Eagles fans on Saturday, which is very, very unfortunate. That shouldn't happen to anybody. But it's really tough right now for the Eagles, and they're finding it harder to win games. Then the other side of the ball, you look at the Chargers, and they've been really struggling as well offensively with the offensive line issues, and Justin Herbert's been banged up. But I do think the biggest key in this game is going to be that Eagles offense against the Chargers defense. And, you know, Jesse Minter does a great job of mixing up his coverages and blitzing, and the way the Eagles' offense is playing right now, I think that plays right into the Chargers' hands because they like to kind of eliminate those explosive plays and kind of play those too high shells. So unless the Eagles can run the ball well with Saquon Barkley, which they were able to do all last year really well, but not this year, I think the Eagles can be in tough during this game. But, Peter, what do you think?
Man, yeah, it's a big game for Philly. I have been winning this game. Like, again, I think the Chargers are just too beat up, especially on the offensive end. I'd be shocked if those Eagles defensive ends don't eat him for lunch. I mean, you got backup tackles in the game. The Chargers are going to obviously try to run the ball and play muck-up football, which has been working for them. It worked against the Raiders, I guess, last week, but it was the Raiders that it worked against. So now we're going to really see if it can truly work against the Eagles team. Again, the Eagles got ran out of the club by the Bears, but the Bears' offensive line is a little bit of a different story than the Chargers one right now. So I got the Eagles winning that one. It's a big game for them, though. If they lose to this team, if they lose in a close one, I kind of won't go crazy, but I'll be like, dang, that's a tough loss. But if they get ran all over again by a team that really has no business of doing that to them, like truly really doesn't, we're going to have another conversation because it'd be a serious problem and look in the mirror issue with the Eagles if they get embarrassed like that. It was more of a manhood thing. That game, they really went there and ran the ball up and down. I couldn't believe it. I never seen the Eagles get pushed back like that, man. I'm sorry, Jalen Carter, people don't understand. Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis are like two of the arguably biggest defensive prospects in terms of defensive tackles that we've seen over the last decade and a half. and they got moved out of the club. It was bad. What Gronk said about that defensive end or DB he did 2 years ago in the Colts game. Like, it was bad, man. Some of that film was nasty. But, yeah, big game for them, for reputation even.
One thing I want to say really quickly, though, the Eagles will be without Jalen Carter. On that Monday night game, he went procedure on his shoulder,
ooh,
and he's going to be week to week, but he will miss this Monday night game. And it also looks like Amarian Hampton, the Chargers' talented running back, will be back.
Ooh.
So that could be an interesting factor to play.
Ooh, I didn't know that. So, okay, you know what? Jalen Carter, my apologies, man. Maybe that's why he's going to move out of the club. Because, I've never seen that happen to him. But Jordan Davis, I'm not taking it back from you. You're a big boy, man. You're not supposed to be getting – that was something. He was getting moved out bad. And I guess going to my last game or my second game that I'm looking forward to watching is a Sunday nighter. Between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have been, you know, as deserved, well under a microscope this season, as they always are. But that's because this time they finally look like the armor is off. The armor is starting to, if not crack, it's already half off, I would say. And they're 6-6, right? Last week you lose to Dallas. And that was, and more than anything, they're them just losing. People go, oh, they lost. And he took a tough L. I said, okay, that's cool. That's fine. I think the biggest thing to me is how they lost. It's not like they got ran over or like there was a big defensive issue or there was this and that. It was a combination of everything. But the fact is, usually they are able to get a stop. Let's say like I really need a pivotal stop. Usually I'm relying on the Chiefs. If I'm a bet on one team in the league, Spagnuolo's defense, he's going to have something in his bag of tricks to finally get a stop and let Mahomes win the game. I was fully expecting when that 2-minute warning hit, that they were going to stop the Cowboys, get the ball back, and then we're going to see if Mahomes could do it or the defense can make a play. One of the two. Cowboys defense can make a play or Mahomes can win the game. And when I saw them just throw the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball, and then they threw a slant again to Pickens, and I'm like, wow. Dallas came out there, and shout out to Schottenheimer because, man, he's doing a heck of a job. Brian Schottenheimer, he is doing a heck of a job, man, and he'd be my coach of the year. I know we have other guys, Vrabel's up there and stuff like that too, but what he's had to deal with this season – considering his crazy owner and all the stuff that's happened around his team, he's my coach of the year right now. But for them to just walk up and down and go, I don't care what you're running, I'm going to throw the ball, is crazy. I've never seen that happen to the Chiefs. Again, things I've never seen before. The Eagles getting manhandled at the line of scrimmage, and especially this version of the Eagles, and the Chiefs getting walked down in a late situation. Doesn't happen often, especially in the regular season. Does not happen. So that happening and seeing Dak do that, I know people were talking about Bo Nix did it to them once, but it was a fashion of how Dak was doing it. Bo Nix was kind of, he had that one big pass to Franklin, but other than that, it was run the ball, maybe a screen, okay, first down, then that one big pass to Franklin. Dak was throwing out routes to CD, throwing this to slants to Pickens, in route here. I'm seeing him, like, he looks confident, like it's just a first quarter game or something like that, early game, 7-3 game. And so it's a big game for the Chiefs, man. You're playing a Texans team that defensively is great. We know what they're all about. Offensively, got question marks over there. CJ Stroud, I know he's back, but I'm not the biggest fan of their offense. If you let, I mean, CJ Stroud, he's come close to beating them before, but if you let this Texans team win this game, you're all of a sudden 6-7. You're in big trouble. And on top of that, what makes things even worse, the Texans are 8-5. I do not want to see the Texans in the playoffs of anybody in the league. All they need is really 17 to 20 points. Now you're in trouble if you're in the playoffs. So this is a big game. It's a big game with a lot of implications going forward. This could be the game that knocks the Chiefs out of the playoffs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, actually, if the Chiefs lose this game, just looking at the stats here, they'll have just an 11% chance of making the playoffs, right? Because right now they're 10th in the AFC. And if they lose this game, they'll lose, even if they win out to go to 10-7, they would basically lose in every single tiebreaker against every team, right? Because they have lost to the Texans, they lost to the Jaguars, they lost to the Bills. The only team they had the tiebreaker over is the Colts. And the Colts obviously are struggling right now, but they're 8-4. So they're still going to be, what, two games, at least a game and a half above the Chiefs. So the Chiefs, especially for the Chiefs, this is a must-win game for them to win at home. And one thing that's interesting to see here is the Chiefs actually this year, you know, you think about them in previous years with, you know, how clutch they are. Usually, okay, if they're down, they're going to make that stop, like you're saying. But this year, they've struggled to do that. They're 26th in the league in third down percentage in terms of getting off the field on third downs on defense. So CJ Stroud, he looked decent last week, and he's got Nico Collins and some weapons back there. So I don't know. Like you said, I think this can be an interesting game here. And, you know, I know last year is last year, but the Chiefs did knock out the Texans out of the playoffs. So that I'm sure that's going to be another motivating factor as well with D'Amico Ryans and the Texans team that's playing their best football when you want to play your best football.
You said 26th?
26. Yep.
Man. See, like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, whoo.
Just below the Eagles.
Oh, man. Yeah. And that, those are winning downs. Those win you or lose you games, yep. Right? If people say fourth down, again, you can point to a lot of things. First down or getting an early start. Third down, 26 is for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're in trouble, man. They lose that game. Yeah. Yeah, and the armor might be off, man. And that's what happens, man. It's part of life. Like, again, as dominant as they've been, as good as they've been, like, even last year, they got to the Super Bowl. We all knew. Let's just keep it a buck. A lot of us thought last year they made the Super Bowl. A lot of us said there's no way this team's going to make the Super Bowl. They were undeserving of having the record they had, if we're being completely honest with you. A lot of those games leading into the playoffs, they didn't look good. They got lucky, bailed out by block kicks, bailed out by guys doing, you know, dumb stuff. Now you're kind of seeing it all come to fruition. This is what happened last year, to be honest with you. It just got prolonged a year longer because they were winning those games somehow. Now teams have started to mature and realize, hey, we don't have to be scared of this team. We don't have to fear this team. And now look at them, man. People aren't afraid anymore. They're coming at you with their best shot, and this is the result. So I'm not trying to be a hater or anything like that. I'm just calling it as it is. People aren't afraid. People are finally taking advantage. And as great as Mahomes is, and we know what he is, a lot of the other team isn't that great. So Chiefs in trouble, man.
Yeah, that last thing I want to add, you said it perfectly. Like, last year, they were not a 15-win team last year.
No.
Right? They were more of a 10, 11-win team. If you look at the underlying metrics this year, this team this year is actually playing better than last year's team did. Like you said, though, they're just not winning those games, right? Those one-score games that they've been famous for winning. And that just comes down to execution. And I think that's why a lot of people are kind of confused because, you know, you have a head coach, Hall of Fame head coach in Andy Reid, and Hall of Fame defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo and Patrick Mahomes, and they've been losing these one-score games. But I guess that's just kind of the luck of the draw, you know, compared to last year. They're winning all those one-score games. You know, Mahomes, I think, coming to this year, had won 17 straight of those. So now you're just kind of seeing the variables flip in that regard. So, well, with that being said, we thank all of you for listening to episode 20 of the Ash Bros podcast. We're so grateful to be able to be back this week and be able to talk football. And I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We're excited for this week, and we hope you guys have a great rest of your own week, and we'll see you in the next one.